Good idea what's going on down there in the land of Brazil. I want to say thank you to this church. We appreciate your faithful support of our ministry so very much, and hope the video gave you a good idea of how your missionary dollars are being invested there in the land of Brazil. If you don't already get our updates before you leave today, stop by our display, take a prayer card. If you would please remember to pray for the phrase, sign up to get our updates. They'll give you a little clearer idea of what's going on real time in our ministry down there. We'd so appreciate that. I brought a small gift with me today. I wish I could bring something for everyone in church. You all deserve it. I love you all so very much. That'd be great. That'd be impossible. But I did bring a wonderful, amazing, beautiful keychain all the way from Brazil. Maybe it's not that fantastic, but I do know it came from Brazil. I brought it in my suitcase. And maybe whoever wins it today, as they see it, will remember to pray for the phrase, and we'll know that we sure do appreciate y'all so very much. So I'm going to ask you a quick question about the video. If you were in the back and snoozed a little bit, you're going to miss out on winning a keychain, but hopefully not. I know everyone was paying close attention, so here we go. If you know the answer, raise your hand. If I point to you and you give me the correct answer, you will take home a Brazil keychain today. And hopefully it'll remind you to pray for the phrase. So here we go. Can anyone present this morning tell me the name of the city? Uncle John and Aunt Marianne are here. They're my aunt and uncle. They don't count. Missionaries for 25 years in Brazil. Besides them, the name of the city in which I live and work in Brazil. The name of the city of which I live and work in the land of Brazil. Did you pick that up? Way up there. I'll take your response. That perfect. Well done. Nice round of applause. Are you going to come down here and get your keychain? Come on down. You deserve it. Come on down and get your keychain. Appreciate you. And all the way in the back, paying attention, picked up the name of the city in which we work. Almost 30 million people today live in the city of São Paulo. It grows at the rate of about 1,000 per day. If I was able to plant a church every day of 1,000, I still wouldn't reach the 30 million that are already there. So I live in an amazing place. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you. Well done. Well deserved. Thank you. Good job. Any quick questions about our presentation? Anything you'd like me to clarify? You don't understand? You're welcome to come by. We're here today for you. Before you leave, if there's something you'd like to ask privately, you'd like me to clarify, I'll be glad to do that. I'm here for you. Appreciate you so much. Any questions today? Open your Bibles, please, with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. As I mentioned already, my Uncle John is here. Uncle John and Marianne sitting right here. They left Brazil after 25 years of missionary work to direct Open Door, Baptist mission out of Morningside. It's always a treat to get to spend time with them, live in Greenville, a great missionary statesman in his own right. And it's always, always nice to get to see them. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you're there, follow with me as I read. Most of you probably know this verse by heart. You've learned it somewhere along the way. Are quite familiar with it. Oh, it's not a verse that's unfamiliar. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 declares the following, "But ye shall receive power, for that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth." Dear Lord, thank you for this church. It's an important part in our life and ministry. We're so grateful for their desire, passion, and vision to be a part of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ on the south side of São Paulo in the land of Brazil. I thank you that they've stood with me faithfully, Lord, for so many years, since the very beginning of my ministry. Many here I know pray for me faithfully, pray for us faithfully, and have stood with us through thick and thin. And I'm grateful for this church and ask that you would do great things in and through them. Meet with us this morning, Lord. Show us great things contained in your word. That each person that's come here this morning will leave, go home, having been transformed in some small way from having been in the presence of the preaching of your word. That we would begin a new year with a great zeal, perhaps a renewed vision, a renewed passion for going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Change us, Lord, stir us, move us. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray all these things this morning. Amen and amen. I've grown up on the mission field, right? I've spent all my life in Brazil. My parents were there for 52 years, I think it was. And as such, I've had a front row seat to what's been happening, particularly in the land of Brazil and somewhat in other countries, as to what's going on in missions. But certainly a trend that I've observed very, very closely in Brazil is a great decline in the number of missionaries coming to preach the gospel in Brazil, desiring to come and answer the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as I step back and attempt to understand and comprehend why this is, I've come to some conclusions. Brazil used to be the largest field for Baptist missions. At some point, there were about 120 missionaries, active missionaries, through Baptist missions alone in all of Brazil. It's a big country from the southern to the northern parts, about 3,500 miles. Today, BMM has about 40 missionaries, active missionaries in Brazil, and most of those are over 60. Unless there's some great change, BMM will be reduced to two or three families within my lifetime. Actively serving the Lord as missionaries in the land of Brazil. And this trend is present. It's not unique to BMM. Most boards today complain of a great dearth of those who would step forward and answer the call to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as I ask myself why, I've come to some conclusions. And these aren't official, you know, this isn't an official analysis. I can't speak to you after doing some sort of official survey, but just as I observe missions in Brazil specifically, my little corner of the world, and have now a lifetime of observation and coming to some conclusions, I'd say perhaps the number one reason, in my opinion, why so few missionaries are going is that overall, the church in America today does not see a need for missions, is not concerned with missions, does not see missions as a priority for the church. I know many, many churchgoers today who have never met a missionary in their life. They've never seen a missionary presentation like the one you've seen today. And the church that they attend supports no missionaries directly. You look specifically at many of the mega churches today, so prevalent, so common, enormous ministries, million dollar budgets, millions of dollars in budget, many activities, right? A lot going on, but if you look very carefully, you'll see no interest in foreign missions whatsoever. They do not have missionary presentations, they do not have missions conferences. They do not support a single missionary directly. They may through a cooperative, they may through some other program, but never does the church stop its activities to try to highlight or showcase a missionary and try to encourage all in the church to consider what they might do. There's a great disinterest among so many churches today, among so many Christians today, in missions. And so, as always, the Bible should shape our actions, should shape our thinking. And so I think it's a perfect time maybe to take a close look at God's Word and ask ourselves some difficult questions. Is missions necessary in a postmodern world? Should missions still be important to the local church post-pandemic? Or should we worry about other things? Should we worry about our own backyard? Has it become difficult? We want to urge our young people to consider a call to mission. Should we be passionate at all? Should missions be necessary? Was it necessary in the previous decade or in the previous century? But it shouldn't be that necessary today or necessary moving into the future. And as always, we have to look into God's Word and see what the Bible says about this so very important subject of missions. Now, I'd like to draw your attention today to some observations, right? To some truths contained in God's Word that should shape all of our thinkings, every church, should have the same understanding, should come to the same conclusions as they look into God's Word about the part that missions should or should not play within each individual church. And as we look at the book of Acts, we have to understand some things about missions that will shape our thinking, that will shape our philosophy. The first thing I'd like you to understand here in Acts chapter 1 is that missions is very important to those who understand the priority that God's Word places on missions. As always, we have to understand the context of a verse in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The context is important to understand. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 contains the last statement of Jesus Christ on earth. Right? The next thing that happens is he's taken into heaven, right? Heaven's open. Jesus is taken into heaven and his earthly ministry is ended. Right? Some days before he was crucified in Jerusalem, he rose again after the third day. He still had some 40 days of ministry. And then moments before he's getting ready to exit earth, he makes this statement. And so, not that any one of Jesus' statements should be more important than any other of Jesus' statement, but I do think it's worthy, right? It's worth saying, what did Jesus Christ reserve his last statement to us to be about? He knows very well that this is his last opportunity to say anything to humanity. And so I think it's worthy of observation to understand carefully the statement and the essence of it and what it might have to say to us. Right? What are Jesus' last words on earth about? It's a missionary statement, right? What does he tell us to do? He tells us to go to Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and in fact, to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, everywhere, every last place. And there he wants his followers to testify about who he was, about what he came to do, to save men's souls, to bring us eternal life through his death on the cross. Right? As a matter of fact, each of the Gospels ends with a powerful missionary statement. Do you realize that? Right? How does Matthew end, right? What's the last statement in Matthew? Matthew ends with this. It says, go and make disciples of all nations. How does Mark end? It ends like this. Go into all the world and preach to every creature. Luke concludes with this. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. And John ends with, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Powerful, missionary commandments. Jesus' last words and many statements that he makes throughout his whole 3-year ministry. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. It's a truth that he repeats over and over again, showing clearly that God has an expectation of each and every believer, of each and every local church, that we be about the task, right, of preaching Christ in all the world. And as I look at God's Word, I have to believe that this is fundamentally important to each person who would consider themselves a true follower of Jesus Christ. The next book, the book of Acts, is really just a thesis on missions from beginning to end. Matter of fact, it contains a blueprint for how missions should occur. It's missions from the beginning. It chronicles the establishment of the primitive church, and it's the building blocks of what we do today. What we do today in our churches today comes directly from what we read in the book of Acts. Most of the books of the New Testament are what? They're letters of a founding missionary back to the churches that he's planted, and they contain God's truth that we benefit from until this very day. Thoroughly missions pouring out of each page of the Bible. You look at the Old Testament, book of Jonah, might be the most powerful missionary statement, commandment, truth of anywhere in the Bible, and it's back in the Old Testament. So many other, right? Psalms are full of verses that tell us to go to the islands and there declare the glory of God. So you don't have to read God's word very much to understand and comprehend that God's expectation of every church is that we be about the task of taking the gospel into all the earth. And this is a commandment that's repeated over and over and over again in God's word. How could missions not be fundamentally important to anyone who understands God's word? Yet we live in a time in which people think missions is dispensable, right? We can forget about it for now. Let's focus on ourselves. Let's focus on our own backyard. Let's focus on our own interests and forget about the rest of the world. Impossible if we know anything about the Bible. Missions is very important to those who understand God's word. There's no other conclusion that can be drawn. Number two, missions is important to those who are obedient to God's word. Right? If you understand God's word, you'll realize the emphasis that it puts in it. And missions then becomes obedient to those. Missions becomes important to those who wish to obey God's word. Right? Those who are obedient to God's word. What's happening here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? Jesus Christ ends his ministry. We don't know exactly who was present in the crowd when Jesus makes this statement. We know that his disciples were there. Most theologians think there were perhaps 200 or 300 people, maybe even more, who were assembled around Jesus moments before he would leave the earth and go prepare a place. He'd promised his disciples that he would do that. It's a promise that extends out to us, that he returned to the Father, and there he's preparing a place for all those who are born again, who accept him as Savior, right? So what does he tell his followers? These people have seen him do miracles, and so many things that he's done is to convince them without any shadow of a doubt of who he is, the promised Messiah, of what he's come to do. He has his disciples there. He has many men of followers who are assembled there, and he leaves them with a clear commandment that to me seems quite easy to understand, right? It'd be hard to kind of misunderstand what Jesus' expectations is of this group, right? They're assembled there. He has them all together. He makes a statement, and then he exits earth. The statement is what? Go ye into all the world, right? Go ye to Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. And go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what should have happened following those who had witnessed Jesus Christ be taken up into heaven? I would think the expectation would be that they would go home. They would be buying boat tickets, right, to all over the world. Now, maybe they wouldn't leave immediately for the mission field, but the planning would begin to be made immediately, and that many of those present In that faithful meeting, in that historic moment, would begin making preparations to sell their home and to exit their Jerusalem where they are, and to begin making their way into the furthest corners of the earth. But guess what happens? Exactly the opposite. You have to go all the way over 7 years. You have to go all the way over to Acts chapter 8. To realize what happens next. 7 years go by. Acts chapter 8 says this. 7 years later, verse 1. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. If Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church that was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering unto every house, hailing men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 is the gateway to explaining the whole rest of the chapter. If you don't understand what happens there, you can't really comprehend what happens in the rest of the book. But what's happening here is that the church is finally doing what they'd been commanded to do by Jesus Christ 7 years later, and they'd been completely disobedient in doing. What we see here is the forming of the first mega church in Jerusalem. All those people that should have been inspired, right, should have been obedient to Jesus Christ, has them all there, reserves his last statement. To me, it seems crystal clear. And they go out and do absolutely nothing about it. They clump. They all band right there. Some wonderful things happen. There are single days where thousands of people are saved and baptized, and the church is now living in a communal state, and they're sharing everything, and there's just a wonderful spirit, and things are so comfortable, and things are so nice in Jerusalem that no one wants to miss out on what God's doing there, and no one wants to leave and go out and be obedient to Jesus Christ's commandment. So what does God have to do? And believe me, it's God acting here in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, right? So what does God have to do? Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the gospel. And that's because of verse 8, where God had to bring a great persecution in Jerusalem, because otherwise maybe they would all be stuck in Jerusalem till this very day and no one would have ever gone absolutely anywhere, right? So the church is comfortable. The church, quite frankly, is disobedient to Jesus' last clear commandment to them. And instead of scattering, instead of going everywhere preaching the word, they stay right there. 7 years go by, and now God has to bring about a great persecution in Jerusalem so that the church will finally be obedient to what God's expectation is of each and every one of us. And now, not out of love, which is what they should have done it originally, not out of obedience for Christ's last commandment, but God has to push them all out the door, right? Forcefully now, right? Using a great persecution because they're unwilling to obey Jesus Christ out of love, right? Out of pure obedience, out of compassion, out of obedience for his clear commandment in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. So we see, loved ones, clearly that missions becomes important, becomes critical, becomes indeed necessary to all those who wish to be obedient to God's clear commandment all throughout his word, that we be about the business of preaching the gospel everywhere. Thirdly, we discover that missions is important to those who understand God's plan. If you turn with me over to Acts chapter 13, we see here God's blueprint for missions, and it's unchanged till this very day, right? And here's the outline of how missions is to be conducted. And in all the churches that wish to obey God and all the churches that wish to be a part of preaching the gospel into the uttermost, the outline is here in Acts chapter 13. What does it say? Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there was in the church that was at Antioch, right? The center of Christianity had shifted now from Jerusalem to Antioch because of the great persecution that was brought about. And the Bible tells us that there were some great scholars and theologians and eventually some great missionaries in Antioch. And certain prophets and teachers, continuing verse 1, is Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to be their minister. So what's happening here? The church at Antioch is doing what every church does, every church is supposed to be doing. They're singing hymns like we saw this morning in church. Beautiful solo, by the way. That was very nice. And they were fasting, and they were praying, and they had Sunday school for their kids, and the ladies had tea and Bible fellowship during the week, and the youth had their activities. And when the church was doing what every church should be doing each and every day, the Bible said that God sent the Holy Spirit and said, now there's going to be a change in the way I want you to do, and I want you to go a step further, and I want you to separate separate some people out of your midst, and their task is going to be to go far and near and there be about the work, supported, sent out and supported through their local church, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the blueprint laid out for us here today is followed till this very day. Some 30 years ago out of Bethel Baptist Church, it was a commissioning. Were you there, Uncle John? Did you come to my commissioning? Same thing happened to Uncle John and Aunt Mariana and the church that sent them out. And the church came together, right? All the deacons came and the pastors came. This process was repeated a few months ago because now Rebecca is being commissioned as a missionary. And so once again, this happened in my church and the church came together around us. And the church prayed for us, and the church is sending us now to go to the southern part of Brazil, south side of São Paulo, and there do what every church should be about the business of doing, identifying through the working of the Holy Ghost people in their midst who will be witnesses of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary to save each man, woman, and child who will but believe, right? Now, loved ones, for better or for worse, I know today that there is no plan B. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Uncle John knows a lot more about missions than I do, so correct me if I'm wrong. I've been all throughout Brazil. I've been in several other different countries, and I've met missionaries. I crisscross America. You know what I've never met? Missionaries, when they meet, we talk shop sometimes, and we say, hey, where's your sending church, or what's your mission board, or what churches support you? And I tell them I have a great church, Grace and Landrum, wonderful church that supports me, and it's through their faithfulness and their prayers and their financial support that I've been here. You know what I've never met? I've never been in Brazil or anywhere else and met a missionary who said, you know, I'm sent out through, I have 51 supporting churches. Bethel Baptist is my home church. They commissioned me and sent me out, and I'm here under their auspices and representing them and all of my supporting churches. I've never had a missionary say, well, you know, I'm glad for you, Brother Frey, but I'm supported by the Coca-Cola company. Have you ever seen that, Uncle John? Yeah. Missionary who says, I'm supported by Microsoft. Microsoft is the one who's commissioned me and sent me. I've never seen it. Pennzoil, you know. Have you, Uncle John, ever seen anything like that? Ford Motor Company. Have you ever seen a missionary supported by the Ford Motor Company? You see, Microsoft and Bill Gates has spent billions of dollars vaccinating the world. He has a deep desire, a great passion for that. But Microsoft does not support one single missionary in Brazil or anywhere else. I've never met a missionary sent out by the State Department. Now, the U.S. is good about sending out an aircraft carrier, straightening out some little country, isn't doing exactly what we want. They're good about that. But the State Department does not support one single missionary anywhere in the world. You know, that's probably a good thing. They'd probably botch it somehow, right? The only formula for missions are missionaries who are sent out, commissioned through their local church, fasted and prayed, supported by the local church to go out into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And for better or for worse, loved ones, there is no other plan. There is no other method. There is no other blueprint than the one established for us here in Acts chapter 13 and followed till this very day. So you see, the day when the local church does not care anymore. The day when churches like this one's and others like it will no longer commission and send out missionaries and support them through your tithes and offerings. Missions will die because there is no plan B. So you see, missions all of a sudden becomes very valuable and important and precious and even critical and absolutely necessary when we understand that there's no one else. And really, to me, it's a good thing. What a great privilege it is. What a great privilege God has given us The Bible tells us angels wish they could have the privilege that we do of going into all the world and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. What a tremendous gift. But we must be serious about it, because there is no plan B. Close your eyes, please, with me this morning and bow your heads. Maybe you're here today, and if you're honest with yourself, you realize that missions just isn't that important to you. And as you understand God's Word and the importance that missions is truly placed, comes clearly through, begin to realize, wow, if I really want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, in my life, in my heart, there must be a place for missions. Maybe you're here today and God's been working in your heart. He's been calling you. Maybe you feel a call. My parents, who ended up spending 52 years on a mission field, were called through a simple missionary presentation, much like the one you saw today, and God's working in your heart. Well, I'd sure like to know about that. If you feel God calling you to the mission field and you have questions, or if you'd even like someone to pray for you, help you in any way you can, before you leave, would you tell me that? I'd sure like to know. On your way out, come by my booth. Say, you know, Brother Fred, I think God's calling me to the mission field. I'd sure like to know. I'd like to pray. I'd like to help you in any way that I can. I'd like to be a part of God's working in your life. If you're here today and you'd like to do more for the cause of missions, if you're beginning to understand, would you commit to that this morning? Say, Lord, use me. I might never leave my home or leave the state or leave this place, but I would like to do more. I would like to be a more proactive part. I'd like to take a more active part in what you're doing all around the world. Use me, Lord. And I'm sure He'll answer your prayer today. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word and how it's so clear on this issue. Revive, Lord, the church in America today and help it to realize that missions is truly critical, fundamental, valuable, and important in your eyes, Lord. And it should be something that's important to each and every believer. I'm going to avail myself of a promise You made in Your Word today, Lord. I'm going to claim it today, and You've told me that I have the right to pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. And so based on this promise, I ask that You'd call someone to the mission field today from this church. That's my prayer today. For it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Come, Pastor, if you would.
This question, and then we're going to sing in a moment, but is there anyone here today that would say, Preacher, to be honest with you, I'm not ready to share the gospel with others because I'm uncertain of my own relationship with the Lord. And maybe you've never trusted Christ. Is there anyone today that would say, Preacher, that's the need in my heart today. And God has worked in my heart through the message this morning, through the message and music of my need for Christ, and today I need to make that decision. Is there anyone that would, by raising your hand, you'd say, yes, that's the decision I need to make today. I need to receive Christ as my Savior. Anyone at all? All right. Amen. Thank you so very much for being with us for this morning's service. And Brother Frey, thank you for the challenge. Certainly the change in missionaries going out is not because God has changed. His power is no different, and we ought to aspire to do more in 2024 when it comes to missions and reaching our Jerusalem and then emphasizing and continuing to reach out to places all across this world through our missionaries especially, and with those who will go and preach the gospel.